Today we are finishing the sessions on fruits of the Spirit. And today we are speaking about faithfulness and self-control. And we've been going through the fruits of the Spirit for the last weeks. Pastor Daniel has been speaking about it, and today I get the privilege and honor to finish the sessions as well. But there was an article in a newspaper from 1974. And it was a newspaper item that spoke about a person called Leo Fortier. And this person Leo had rang a bell in his parish church for 52 years every single Sunday. So for 52 years he had come to the same church, rang the bell, and that was his duty. And when I think about something like that, I think, wow, what a faithfulness. For 52 years to come to the same place and do something time and time again is definitely a sign of a faithfulness. And when we think about faithfulness, faithfulness is something that is kind of lost in today's society. It's something that, unfortunately, when it comes to faithfulness, it's something that we don't see all the time. And faithfulness is something that God has called us, you and me as Christian, to. It's something that should be a fruit in our lives. We should manifest it through our actions, through our behavior, through our words as well. You know, but when we look at today's society, we often find that even people cannot stick to the one gym cart. You know, if you have a gym membership, as soon as something more exciting comes up, we leave that membership maybe halfway through and we go to the next one. So there's a tendency in today's society that we cannot stay to one thing. As soon as something more exciting comes along, as soon as something else happens to appear, we tend to be drawn to it. We tend to go after it. And we also see that in today's society, as soon as a person does something good, it doesn't take often a long time until it comes on social media. You know, as soon as we go through life and we do something that we want acknowledgement for, oftentimes the first thing that we do is to take a selfie and go on social media and say, hey, this is what I did today. This is the person I was walking with today. And please don't misunderstand me today. I'm not saying there's anything against using social media to bring forth the gospel of Christ or to give glory to God or lift up people or even inspire people. There is nothing wrong with that. But sometimes it all has to come back to the attitude of our heart. When it comes to our walk with God, why do I do certain things? Why do I choose to serve? Why do I choose to go to church? Why do I choose to do the work that I believe the Lord has entrusted me with? You know, do I always need the recognition of man? Do I feel like the lack of recognition of man makes the work that I do any less? And coming back to this guy that for 52 years, Leo, for 52 years, ringing the same bell. During his time, he definitely did not own a phone. He could not take a selfie and say, 42 years is still going strong. So maybe after 52 years, finally he got the acknowledgement that a paper, which is still a big acknowledgement, but that somebody recognized him. But it was not after 3 years that he thought, you know what, I'm done. Nobody sees me. Nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of things, but nobody is even aware of it. For 52 years, and still doing the same thing. And you know, you and me as believers, we need to be challenged in that area. Because there are things that God will entrust us with. There are things that God has already entrusted you with. There are things that God has already put into your hands, being job, being family, being serving Him. And those things, He expects us to do it with all of our heart. And we need to ask ourselves the question, do I do it with the right attitude? Am I doing it out of faithfulness to God, or am I doing it out of faithfulness of acknowledgement from people? Would I still do it for the next coming 20 years, even though nobody thanked me? Even though no one would come to me and say, oh, that's wonderful, what a great job you're doing. Jesus was very straightforward in Matthew 6, 2-4. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory from man. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. You know, Jesus wasn't always very, his words, even though they're true, they're not always very comfortable. Because they challenge us, right? I mean, who is able to not let the right hand know what the left hand is doing? But still Jesus is saying, you know, and of course, in every culture and everything that we do, there will always be people that see certain things that we do. But at the end of the day, he's dealing with the attitude of the heart. Why are you faithful? Where is your faithfulness? Why do you serve? What are the reasons you come to church? What are the reasons that you are doing the job that you believe God has given you? All of it comes back to, where is my heart? Who am I being faithful to? And if people, even during the, because at the end of the day, faithfulness is easy when things are easy, right? Anybody agrees with me? When I'm not having any difficulty with anybody, when everything goes my way, when everything is just like cruising, it's wonderful, right? It's easy to be faithful. But the thing is that our faithfulness is challenged the moment things get tough. The moment we feel like leaving or we feel like quitting, but we still stay. But in today's society, most of the time, faithfulness will only be until I feel like it's enough. I say when I quit. I say when I want to go to the next gym. Of course, you have the free will to do that as well. But the point being, there is something about faithfulness that has lost its value. But the Lord has called us to a life where it's not only about doing things, but it goes back to the heart. So fruit of faithfulness is that we are able to do, we are able to go, we are able to work, we are able to do the will of God time and time again, week after week, month after month, year after year. What if the Lord were to tell you that the things that you're doing today, he wants you to do for the next 20 years? Would there be joy in your heart? Would there be sadness in your heart? What if nobody will value it? What if nobody will see it? Will you still do it? Faithfulness and obedience often goes hand in hand. You know, Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most man will proclaim, eats his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? With other words, most people will say, oh, I have done this, I have done that. Going to the streets. I mean, we all know these kind of people, right? And we all know that we don't want to be that kind of people, right? Because most men, it's easy. You know, this is what I've done. This is, have the tendency of getting people's acknowledgement about what they have done. But then the Bible says, but who can find a faithful man? It's not easy. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, loyalty and faithfulness are desirable qualities. But not everyone who claims to have them actually does. In fact, faithfulness is usually missing. Keeping one's word and being loyal to one's commitment are important. With other words, it's easy to say all kinds of things. It's easy to talk the talk, but it's not always easy to walk the walk. It's easy to say that, yeah, this is who I am, this is what I have done. But it's not as easy to be the person that actually does more than what we say. Faithfulness can never be valued by people's opinion. Faithfulness can never be valued by people's acknowledgement or what people see. But the good news is this, that God sees. And that God is a rewarder. He is the one who rewards, not people. At the end of the day, as Jesus said, you know, they have had their rewards. All of us are going to stand before God one day when we are going to have the rewards of what we have done for Him. All of us are going to stand before the seat of judgment, stand before the seat of Jesus. Some are going to stand before Him when it comes to death and life, if they have eternal life or you're going to have eternal damnation. And those of us that have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're still going to have to be accountable before God of what we have done. And you know, when we stand before the throne of God, God is not going to call for another witness. And that witness is not going to say, yeah, I saw it on Instagram. He did it. Or I saw it on Facebook. Because when that day comes, it's going to be between you and God. And God is going to ask, what have you done with what I have given you? Have you been faithful with the things that I have entrusted you with? The giftings, the talents. And you know, most of us sitting here today, we are aware of certain giftings and talents that God has given us. But are we choosing to grow in them? Are we choosing to walk in them? Or are we choosing to hide them and be comfortable? Because there is one thing to be seen as faithful. There is another thing to walk in faithfulness to God. It all comes back to the heart. Why do I serve? What does my life? What is my life? Whom does my life belong to? Because if we check our heart this morning, will we even be satisfied with the result and what we did, even though no one except the Lord knows what we have done? Is it enough for us to know that one day it will give glory to God when we stand before Him and that we have remained faithful to Him? 1 Corinthians 4, 1-2 says, let a man so consider us as a servant of Christ and steward of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So there are things that you and me are called to be stewards over. There are family that we are called to be stewards over. There are callings, there are things that we have been entrusted with. And you know what? There is only one you. There is only one you, and it's only you that can accomplish what God has called you to do. We cannot rely on other people's talents. We cannot rely on other people's calling to fulfill our calling. Because when we stand before the Lord, God will say, have you been faithful? Or whatever words He will use when that day comes. But the point being, He will look at our faithfulness. He will look at us, have I been a steward? Have you been a steward of the gifts and the talents that God gave you? Or are we someone that tends to run around for the next new thing? You know, I feel like there's also sometimes a generational difference when we look at the young generation today and the generations before us. And when I look at my grandfather, and he's still eating the same biscuits he ate when I was young, the same brand, and he gets so disappointed if they change anything. So there is something about a quality of faithfulness that God wants to find in us. Not that we cannot change our diet or anything like that. But He's looking to the heart. Will I find you faithful? Will I find you faithful even when you want to quit? Even when you want to give up? Are you still going to walk the walk that I have set before you? Are you still going to do what I have called you to do? When you feel like this is it, will you still stay the course? I believe it's something that God needs to challenge us time and time again. Because there is only one you, and there is a special calling and a purpose upon your life. You know, when I went to Bible school in Sweden, we had this dean of the Bible school at that time. He was a very tough but very loving person as well. But every time he would walk past you, you would be like, is everything okay? Am I in order? You know, you would get this sense of, have I sinned? You know, you would really feel like, oh my goodness, what is he going to say? He's going to judge me or whatever. You know, but when you got one-on-one on him, he would be so loving and so kind. But there was one thing that I saw one day, and that is that as we were leaving school after school hours, some of us were walking past the cafeteria, and there he was, sweeping the floor, when nobody was supposed to see him, and that was not even a part of his job description. But it trains faithfulness. It shows faithfulness. Doing something when nobody else seen will sometimes be something God requires of us. And in that moment of time, we can train that faithfulness. And as we train that faithfulness, we realize more and more that our approval comes from God and not from man. Again, please don't misunderstand me. That it doesn't mean that we can share with one another, we can give glory to God. But it all comes back to our heart. What is the motivation? Why do I serve God? Why do I go to church? What is the center of my faith? Is it God? Is He the center of it? Is His approval beyond every man's approval? And even though I don't have man's approval, will I still stay the course for 52 years and ring the same bell? Will I still stand at the door and say hello to every person coming in? If that is what God would ask me to do, please don't feel stuck right now that everything you're doing, you're going to have to be doing for the next 52 years. That's not the point. The point is that God is constantly, constantly checking our hearts. And Jesus is the main role model when it comes to faithfulness. Philippians 2:5-8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You know, if Jesus were to ask us a question today, and the question would be, are you willing to be faithful to me as I have been faithful to you? What would be our answer? Because when we look at the life of Jesus, his faithfulness was not always glorious. The result of his faithfulness was not always glorious. Just before he was about to die on the cross and do the most faithful thing to the calling of God he could have done. He was about to do the very thing that would lead humanity away from sin. But just before that, people were spitting on him. People were speaking evil against him. Before he was about to do the very thing he was called to do, That was when he was the most humiliated. But still, the Bible tells us that he kept the course. He did not give up. He was humbled, he was spit on, he was beaten. But he knew that what the Lord has set before me, I have come to finish. You know, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, not my will, if it's possible, God, take this cup away from me, but not my will, but your will be done. Even in that moment of time, he knows, I will stay faithful as long as you want me. I will finish the task. I will walk the walk. I will carry the cross. I will die the horrible death. You know, we live in a society where everything needs to be glorified. Everything needs to be approved. Everything needs to be shown. But even when we think about the coronavirus that is going on right now, you know, the biggest heroes of the day will never be mentioned by name. The nurses, the doctors, most of them will never go to the newspaper by name. But they are still the greatest heroes of today. The same with us, maybe the greatest thing that we will do for the Lord, being in the prayer, for example. Maybe something that you will pray through and somebody else will actually go ahead and do the task. Maybe the greatest thing that you will do in the hidden will not be known to men. Will we still do it? Will we still keep faithful? Will we still go on? Because faithfulness is an attitude of the heart. And the good news is, as I said before, God sees our faithfulness. And maybe for the last 20 years, you have woken up in the morning and the first thing is to read your Bible. That is a faithfulness in the eyes of God. And he sees it. So there are things that we do out of faithfulness to the Lord, but not necessarily out of faithfulness to man. Yes, we do it out of faithfulness to man, as in God has put us under authorities. God has put people around us that he has called us to be faithful to in different areas. But faithfulness always comes back to our life in God. And having a fruit of faithfulness will help us to finish our race. Because it's easy to start, right? You know, we've heard so many times, marathon is not life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And it's easy to start, it's easy to be enthusiastic. But once the hindrances start to come, it's easy to back down and to say, you know what? And then we have all these excuses. I stopped because of this person, and I quit because of that one, and then this happened and that happened. And we find all the excuses to give up. But we need to realize in the life with God, it will always demand to go over the next obstacle. It will always demand to not give up at the first bump. For example, if we look at a cell group setting, would I quit because my cell group leader is changed his position and is moved abroad? Oh, the one, the cell group leader I loved so much. Or do I stay because I'm faithful to where God has placed me? I believe it's questions that we need to ask ourselves. Why do I serve? Why do I come to church? Who is the center of my faithfulness? Faithfulness is needed in a marriage. You know, Winston Churchill is supposed to have said one day when he was attending a formal banquet in London. And people were being asked this question, if you were not yourself, who would you like to be? And then people were answering, and everybody was waiting on his answer, his reply. And then when it was his turn, he kind of paused. And then he said, I would like to be Lady Churchill's second husband. With other words, even though I was somebody else, I would still be faithful to that woman. And in today's society, that's not usually how people think. Because we live in a society where people are changing partners, and they're changing partners left and right. But when it comes to the marriage, it's the center of where we see faithfulness. And once faithfulness is broken, it makes it even harder to build up that trust. But God has called us to live for the rest of the life with our covenantal partner, and it shows the faithfulness of how God also looks at faithfulness. There is a couple named Selmayr and Herbert Fisher. They're a very adorable couple, as you see. They have passed away now. But in 2008, they got the Guinness World Record of the longest marriage. They had been married for 84 years. And actually, when Herbert passed away, they had been married for 87 years. And they were asked, what is the secret to your marriage? How could you be married for such a long time without giving up on one another? They also were Christians. So the foundation of the marriage was Christianity. And the answer they had was respect, support, and communicate with each other. Be faithful, honest, and true. Love each other with all of your heart. So when it comes to a marriage, being faithful, being honest, being true. Love one another with all of your heart. Faithfulness. And the more we walk in relationship with God, the more we walk with God, the more the fruit of faithfulness will also come into our marriage. It will come into our life. It will come into our service to God and the race that God has put before us. So we need to realize as well, in anything that God has entrusted us with, anything that He's called us to be stewards over, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And I believe most of you have heard about the Chinese guy that ran a marathon in his home during this outbreak of the virus. You know, in his own home, he ran a circle after circle until he was done, I think even with the ultra marathon, if I'm not mistaken. And that's commitment, honestly. Because I'm not gonna find excuses. I'm actually gonna find possibilities. And that's what faithfulness does. Faithfulness doesn't look for opportunities to cut corners. Faithfulness doesn't look for opportunities to give up. Faithfulness says, okay, this is where the Lord has placed me, this is what God has in front of me, and this is where I'm going. It's not based on the outer situation, it's based on my life with God. And God looks to the heart. 1 Samuel 16 and 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So, with other words, God looks at the attitude of our heart. He doesn't just look at everything that we do. He doesn't just look at everything that we say or what we are spending, only what we are spending our time to. But what is the attitude of our heart? You know, we can say, I'm going to be here. You know, I'm going to be at this job no matter what. But I really dislike my boss. And then we continue to have this attitude of we're not submitting. We're not fully dedicated. We're there, but we're still not there. So faithfulness has to do so much with what we are also thinking about. What is happening on the inside of us. Submission to the will of God, walking out in submission and faithfulness. And when there is things that we experience around us that are not good, we don't stay and we grumble on the inside of us. We stay and then we work out with our own attitude as well. Because God wants to see the submission of the heart. He wants to see that what we're doing is not based on what is happening around us, but based on the very fact that He has called us to a certain task. So our faithfulness is not challenged when things go well, and the core of our faithfulness is challenged when things get tough and we have a choice to back out or cut corners. That's when it's challenged. And that's where we have to make a decision to stay the course, to continue. Because let me tell you something this morning. There is a reward of faithfulness. That sometimes, for example, in a marriage, we may not see a way out. But when you fight and you continue, there will always be a reward at the end of it. Amen? Amen. So, faithfulness being fruit of the Spirit, self-control. He is very cute, isn't he? Must control self. And I don't know if I should say this. I guess everybody knows my weakness. It's chocolate. You know, Pastor Daniel, I think he said last Sunday, every time he preaches, he will have to go through his preaching before he preaches. Well, the same thing happened to me this week, many times. No. One thing being that when I was reading through self-control, I was encouraging myself and all those things. My husband comes home Friday afternoon after being with some people that we have in common. And he comes home with two boxes of chocolate. And it's my favorite chocolate. And I was just thinking, this is great. Thank you, God. We are challenged even as we go through the Word. But there is a promise in the Word of God, and that is one of the fruits of the Spirit being self-control. Proverbs 25:28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Other translations say, a man without self-control is like a city broken down without walls. So self-control is something that you and me as believers, we need to work out in our lives. And it can be in different areas. It can be in relation to food. It can be in relation to temper. It can be something that has a hold of us. It can be lust. It can be so many other things. But the thing is about the Word of God, that in anything that we face, you know, if it's our emotions that just, we don't feel like we have control over our emotions. We don't feel like we have, we just have to blur out things. We just have to say certain things. But the good news is that one of the fruit of the Spirit is being self-control. So if there is an area of our life where we feel like we don't have the control over, there is the capacity through the Spirit of God to put that under submission as well. And the thing is as well that having self-control is a part of finishing our race. You know, 1 Corinthians 9:25-26 says, and these are very famous words of Paul, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection. Lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So in other words, as we go through this life, and as we run our race, just like athletes, just like sport people, there are certain sacrifices they need to make. There are certain things they have to refuse themselves. There are certain things they have to deal with in their lives in order to finish strong. I mean, you don't see a 200 kg person getting the finish line first. Because at the end of the day, there are things that they need to think about if they're going to be best in their category. And the same with us. If we are going to finish our race well, there are certain things in our lives that we need to put under submission in God. There are certain things in our life we need to find control over. Because if our mouth is always getting us into trouble, maybe there are things that we need to we need to take control of our tongue, what we say. And the problem is that in all of those things that we struggle with, if we're trying to do it in our own strength and own power, we will fail. You know, we can't go a few days, maybe a week, and we can do well. But then we find ourselves maybe falling back into the same old habits, the same old temper, the same old words, the same old food. But at the end of the day, we need to realize, what does the Bible say? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So the more we walk with God, the more we draw close to Him, the more we learn about Him, the more those fruits will start to take manifestation in our lives. It's not about trying in our own strength and power. Okay, now I'm going to be very good. I'm only going to eat salads for a week, which I don't think is good except you're fasting or something like that. But we may feel like, okay, for a week or two, I'm gonna stay away from sugar. And or for this week, I'm gonna be kind to everybody I meet. And then the third day comes and something happens, something triggers, because we are not relying on the source that is the Holy Spirit to overcome those things in our lives. We're not relying on the fact that there's somebody greater that wants to help me through it. So as I draw close to Him, He will draw close to me. And as He draws close to me, there are things in my life and in our lives that may have struggled with for the longest time, but suddenly there is a breakthrough. Because it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You're taking on a characteristic of God, and it's becoming your character. It's shaping your character. So that as we walk through life, we are having faithfulness, we're having self-control, we're suddenly finding patience beyond patience that we had before. Because we need to stop to hide behind, this is how I've always been, this is how my family is. And we need to realize that God wants to shape a character in our lives that we cannot shape on our own. Or if we work on it on our own, we may work on it very hard, but still fail. But if we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we say, Holy Spirit, I'm weak in that area. Please help me to find self-control. Please help me to see in the Bible what you think about it. Please help me to work through, you know, and He can lead us to ways to overcome things. You have someone that wants to direct you, that wants to help you, that wants to walk with you, and me as well. And there is a possibility to overcome sin. There is a possibility to overcome anger. There is a possibility to overcome addiction. Because He is the one who breaks through in your life. As you seek Him, you will find Him. In closing, Galatians 5:16-18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For as the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are under the law. You are not under the law. Sorry, that's better. So in other words, there are so many things that wants to take our time. There are so many things that want to tempt us. But if we invite the Spirit of God into our life, we need to realize that we are not under the curse of the law. We are not under, we are not slaves to our own emotions or our own longings and so on. We can't be freed from it through the help of the Spirit of God. Because it's the Spirit of God that gives life. So where we feel like there is death, where we feel like there is hopelessness, where we feel like we can do nothing else but fail, we're always coming down to the same emotions. Through the Spirit of God, we can find control. And we can overcome, because He's called us to a life of victory and not a life of defeat. Amen? So there needs to be this heart, Holy Spirit, come in, show me, reveal to me. Hallelujah. Amen. So I just want to encourage us this morning. You know, when we look on the fruits of the Holy Spirit and we come to the close of the teaching today in relation to that, you know, what are the areas of our life where we feel like there needs to be shaped even stronger a character, the fruit? And then we can invite the presence of God in and we say, Holy Spirit, I need you here. I need your help. I need your comfort. I need you to show me. I need you to help me develop this fruit in my life so that I can serve you even stronger, so that I can serve you even better, and so that I can finish my race, and I can finish strong, and I can finish well. Amen. Let's come before Him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father God.